From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of his sixth message in a series on the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Among the heroes of faith memorialized in this chapter, perhaps none ranks higher than Abraham, the man who was called the friend of God. In a message called A Pilgrim's Faith, Dr. Cairns is highlighting the characteristics of a man who was called out of a heathen land to go to a place previously unknown to him, based purely on his faith in the God who had revealed himself to him. We'll see that the willingness of Abraham's faith is a picture of that effectual call which awakens a dead sinner and brings him to faith in Christ. As Abraham illustrates, this call is first of all a sovereign call. Then it is gracious, for it is extended to undeserving sinners. Then it is an honest call, for God did not hide the cost of obedience from Abraham. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Psalm 67 and verse 6. God, even our own God. It is strange how little use we make of the spiritual blessings which God gives us, but it is stranger still how little use we make of God Himself. Though He is our own God, we apply ourselves but little to Him, and ask but little of Him. How seldom do we ask counsel at the hands of the Lord? How often do we go about our business without seeking His guidance? In our troubles, how constantly do we strive to bear our burdens ourselves, instead of casting them upon the Lord, that He may sustain us? This is not because we may not, for the Lord seems to say, I am thine, soul, come and make use of me as thou wilt. Thou mayest freely come to my store, and the oftener the more welcome. It is our own fault if we make not free with the riches of our God. Then, since thou hast such a friend, and he invites thee, draw from him daily. Never want while thou hast a God to go to. Never fear or faint while thou hast God to help thee. Go to thy treasure and take whatever thou needest. There is all that thou canst want. Learn the divine skill of making God all things to thee. He can supply thee with all, or better still, He can be to thee instead of all. Let me urge thee, then, to make use of thy God. Make use of Him in prayer. Go to Him often, because He is thy God. Oh, wilt thou fail to use so great a privilege? Fly to Him, tell Him all thy wants. Use Him constantly, by faith, at all times. If some dark providence has beclouded thee, use thy God as a sun. If some strong enemy has beset thee, find in Jehovah a shield, for He is a sun and shield to His people. If thou hast lost thy way in the mazes of life, use Him as a guide, for He will direct thee. Whatever thou art, and wherever thou art, remember God is just what thou wantest, and just where thou wantest, and that He can do all thou wantest.
Thank you.
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
General call that the Word of God gives out every time the gospel is preached. An honest call, a statement of the man, a man's responsibility to God, a statement that there is forgiveness for every sinner who comes, and there is judgment for every sinner who doesn't. There is a general call that goes out with every gospel message. But there is a particular call of which the apostle speaks more than once. A call that comes along with that general call, but that fastens upon peculiar objects of particular grace. Paul speaks of that call in that celebrated passage in Romans chapter 8. He says, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Here is a call that Paul is speaking about that is infallibly followed by justification. Just as surely as justification is infallibly followed by glorification. Paul says, here is a call that is not merely a general presentation of terms. Here is a call that, like the call of Christ to Lazarus at his graveside, imparts life to a dead soul. Here is a call that enables a powerless sinner to obey it. Here is a call that is particular and sovereign, that differentiates and that falls upon peculiar objects of the grace of God. It is a sovereign call that takes away all pride in saved people. If I heard the gospel as I did and responded to that gospel while others beside me heard the same gospel and didn't respond, it is not because there was something better in me than there was in those people. It is not because there was some innate streak of goodness or bias toward God. It is not because I was less deeply embroiled in sin, less deeply depraved. It is not because there was anything in me by nature superior to what was in those people. It is of God's mercy that I didn't go their way. It is of God's sovereignty, God's grace, God's love, God's peculiar goodness that imparted to this dead soul an effectual call. Sovereign grace. Oh, how humbling to the pride of man, saint and sinner alike, and how exalting to the freedom of an eternal God. It was not only a sovereign call, it was a gracious call. Abraham lived in an idolatrous society. Indeed, Abraham, not to put too fine a point on it, served other gods. He was a sinner. We tend to think that Abraham, because he's called the righteous man from the east, that he was righteous before he was called. No, no. The righteousness came as the result of the call. It was not the cause of the call. Abraham was an idolater. He was deep into sin. He was a man who was in the darkness of his own natural ungodly condition. But the call of God was directed toward this idolater. It was a call of grace. My friend, let me tell you, Jesus Christ is not come into the world to call the righteous. The people who, like the Pharisees, were so full of their own righteousness, so proud of their own goodness, were beyond the pale. They were not to be called. Now, that's not to say that a Pharisee could never be saved. For Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee. He could see it. But don't you see what must happen to a Pharisee before he gets saved? He must be made something more or better than a Pharisee by seeing himself worse than a Pharisee. He must see himself as a sinner. He must feel himself to be a sinner. He must be brought to the place where the righteousness and the holiness of God and His law have broken up his heart and have made him understand that there is no righteousness in the sight of God. See of one, and that is the righteousness of Christ. And when a man is brought under the conviction of God's Spirit and God's law to feel his sin and his unholiness and his unrighteousness, then that man is an object of the gracious call of God. Until you see your sin, you'll certainly not receive the invitation to become a saint. Until you see your sin, there is no call. It's a very strong statement, but I mean it. There is no call from God to you until you see your sin. That's why there's so much wrong with much of modern evangelism. You have people in the great ecumenical crusades coming forth for they know not what. Now that is not to say that there is no gospel preached. But what it is to say is that all too often there is no making men understand their sin. The gospel that is so often proclaimed nowadays is what you could call the problem-solving gospel. And nothing more. If you need a new dimension to your life, if you need real uplift in your life, if you need the reality of which, say, drugs and drink and worldly pleasure are only the counterfeit, then come to Christ. If you have home problems, wife problems, husband problems, children problems, business problems, mental problems, emotional problems, then come to Christ. Now there's a lot of truth in that. The Lord Jesus Christ does heal the heart. He does heal the mind. He does heal the home. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is first and foremost a gospel that says that He heals the problem of sin. He deals with the estrangement of a sinner from his God. He puts away the wrath of God. He puts away the guilt of sin. He delivers the soul from hell. He delivers it from the very realm and thraldom and dominion and regency of sin. That's the emphasis of the gospel. Until a man is brought to feel his sin, he is not called to salvation. What a word for sinners. If you sit in this church service this morning with a heart that's convicted, I am a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Were God to deal with me as I deserve, I must perish in the flames of His wrath forevermore. I'm a sinner, foul and unclean. And I find no excuse that I haven't done what other people have done. Or I am convicted that I am bad enough to go to hell. And I have done enough to estrange myself from God. Then, my friend, it is to such as you that Jesus Christ in sovereign grace gives His call. A call upon which you can with confidence act. A call which you can confidently obey. Because He came to call sinners to repentance. It was an honest call. Very interesting that when the Lord called to Abraham, He set before him, yes, His promise, but He set it forth in dark terms. He said, Abraham, you're going to get out there and I'm not going to tell you where you're going. You don't know what's down the road. And finally, when he got a bit down the road, the Lord just led him step by step, and He kept him from at that very moment entering in to, I have no doubt what he thought he would enter into, the fullness of the possession. In other words, the Lord dealt very honestly with Abraham. He presented the cost of obedience in the plainest of terms. The Lord Jesus made it clear that if you're going to sit down and build a house, you'd be better to count the cost first. If you're going to go out to war, you'd be better to count the cost first. It's a foolish thing to start to build and not be able to finish. It's a foolish thing to go out to war with an inferior army and find that you're beaten on the field of battle. Better first to find the cost. Now, you're not saved by paying a price. Let's get that. You're saved because of the price that Christ paid. And no other price is necessary to save us. But nonetheless, there is, in human terms, a cost to Christian discipleship. It is a cross that saves us, the cross of Christ. But that cross brings us into fellowship. It is a fellowship of suffering. It is a fellowship of self-denial. It is a fellowship of death to the flesh. There can be no life in Christ unless there is death to the flesh. And the Lord makes this plain and clear. The Bible knows nothing of this notion that has so gripped men, who even use the very idea of the free grace of God to cloak it. It knows nothing of this idea that you just come and get saved and then make up your mind afterwards if you're going to be a disciple of Christ. Nothing of that in the Bible. God's call is honest. How can you be a Christian if you don't come after Christ? You can't. If you come after Christ, you'd be aware the devil's going to be against you. If you're going to come after Christ, the devil's brigades are going to be against you. If you're going to come after Christ, the world will not be your friend. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Therefore, friendship with God is enmity with the world. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. The Lord Jesus Christ makes these things very plain to us. It's an honest call. He doesn't come with blandishments. He doesn't come with some over-painted picture of how easy it will be to be a Christian. He doesn't promise that life is going to be a bed of roses, but what he does promise, and thank God, in the call, there's not only a command, but there is a promise. What he does promise is, I'll deal with your sin. I'll be your God. You'll be my child. I'll be your master. You'll be my servant. I'll be your leader, and I'll lead you all the way to glory. The Lord Jesus does give a promise that he will bless us, and he will curse anyone who curses us. For let me tell you what he promised Abraham is ultimately true, spiritually, of every Christian. If you have the blessing of God, you don't need to worry about the curse of the devil.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.